Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Seattle sisters!
It's your virtual sisters, Bianca, aka BB.
Shade or Shade, whichever one floats your boat.
And your girl, Jenny from the pod. And welcome to another episode of She's in the Pod,
the safe space for millennial women,
where we meet bi-weekly to talk life, growth, and sisterhood.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of She's in the Pod.
Welcome.
I'm your girl, Bianca. And
I'm Jenny.
Yep, we're here with another episode. This is episode 4 of season 5.
Oh my gosh, I've lost count already.
Yeah, it's honestly, we're on an official countdown to our last season now. But yeah, we have someone special in the studio today. We don't want to waste too much time because we want to talk to her. She's someone that we had on the podcast. I think it was season 3.
Yeah,
it was season 3. Season it's about three. A year and a half ago. And fun fact, actually, I was telling Jennifer in the car that the episode that we had on with you was the second most listened to episode we've ever had.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I remember that was a virtual one as well.
Yeah, so. It was virtual. So I was looking at the stats even yesterday and it was like number 2. I was like, wow, so that was a fun fact. But yeah, we'll let her introduce herself.
Hi guys, it's Azaria here.
and we wanted to have Azaria back on because, first of all, we enjoyed the first time we had her on. I think it was really, really good.
She was just dropping too many gems. Yeah. And even afterwards, I was like, we need to have her back on again.
And I think we've always, as a free trio, we've always loved her approach to social media. Mm-hmm. I would say to Jen, I just love her because you're just so careless. Yeah. And I love it. I wish I could be that free.
No, do you know what?
And you say the things that I think.
Yeah, it's always like, you say, I'm like, oh.
And every time I tweet, I'm like, okay, right, tomorrow you're going to start tweeting like this. You're not going to be like this anymore because, you know, employment.
No, honestly, I think everyone wishes they could just be that free and just read it up on socials. And just some of the everyday things you talk about as well. Mm-hmm. That affect us, especially as millennials. So we were like, as we're closing this season, we want to maybe have like one or two guests that we felt like really stood out to us. And you were definitely one of them. But there's so much to talk about. The first thing I want to talk to you about is your podcast. So you have a podcast now and it's Azaria's Mind Map, right?
Yeah.
Talk to us about the journey to launching that podcast. Talk about, because you've been quite open. You're open about like, not feeling like, you know, you were ready or imposter syndrome and all those things that, you know, we all deal with. So yeah, talk to us about, you know, the journey leading up to that finally happening. Because I had seen you talking about it for a long time on socials and I was ready.
I've been talking about it for years.
I was ready. I was like, where's the podcast?
Do you know what? I think, I'm not going to lie, I think it was a long time ago now, but I think after coming out of Backchat, right? That's obviously a talk show, you're sharing your opinions and the amount of views that it got and like how literally overnight, quite literally, you're now like a lot more visible than you were before. Yeah. And I think after Backchat, I came out and initially, I would, like years ago, well, since I was young, I'd always wanted to be a singer, right? Okay. I'd always wanted to be in entertainment. And I feel like after I done Backchat, it made me realise, like, actually, you know what? I actually don't want to sing. Mm. Like, I actually don't want to be in that industry. I love singing.
I remember you doing a few gigs here and there, I would say.
And it's like, I love singing, but in terms of, like, the industry, quote unquote, I don't know if it's for me. I don't know if it aligns with, like, how I want to live my life. And so I think for years, I was grappling with the idea of the things that I want to do could potentially make me hyper visible. Okay. And I don't know if I want to keep.
You're ready for
I don't
that.
Know if
yeah.
I want to add. I don't know if I want to add to that. And so obviously I was teaching, I taught in special educational needs and now I'm an anti-racism consultant and my job like means absolutely like everything to me. I love the work that I do and it's very emotionally taxing and it's very, you have to be very present. So when I'm at work, I'm not thinking about anything else other than work. I don't have the time.
Yeah.
And so I found that so much more fulfilling for so long than I did like the entertainment stuff. And I think for me, during those years, it was really grappling with, okay, how am I going to get a balance between talking about these things and having a platform of some sort, but also still maintaining privacy and not, you know, being, you know, excessively hyper-visible. Like, I get it comes with the territory, but, you know, how do I strike that balance? And I think in focusing on what I think is important with regards to my platform and the things that I talk about and stuff. I think I'm striking that balance because I feel like I'll be in the places in the rooms that align with me most. Because I feel like when you work in the entertainment industry, there's a lot of extra stuff that comes with it.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I would do the music and I'd have to do the radio interviews and I have to do the photo shoots and stuff.
Stuff that you like, don't really sign up
I actually
for.
Hate this stuff. Like, I don't like it. And so I feel like I've been trying to strike that balance for a long time. And I feel like in doing the jobs that I've done, it's helped me decide what I want my platform to be about. And it's meant if my platform is going to be about certain things, then it means I can present myself in certain things.
You have more control.
Exactly. Yeah. And even just little things like, how am I going to record my podcast with such a busy schedule? Like aligning my schedule with other people's schedules to physically be in a studio, it was too taxing. And I have ADHD, so it's kind of like, if I'm going to do this, I need to do it in a way that means I'm not going to like be like, I've had enough.
It's not taxing.
And so this year when I decided to do it virtually, it's made all the difference. Like, it takes me an hour and a half.
And you're good.
Literally. And then maybe, you know, maybe 40 minutes, you know, now and again when I'm writing up like a brief and stuff to send to people that. But other than that, it's just so much more. And I don't have, and I've decided to not do visuals right now because I'm like, I don't have time to worry about what I look on camera and then edit it. Like, I'm literally,
it's a lot.
Like, yeah, I'm literally just, and I do it all myself, right? Yeah. So it's not like I go to a studio and stuff. Like, I edit it and everything myself and I make all that the promo myself. So I'm like, how am I going to do this where, and I'm just like, if the conversations are about certain things, I sincerely believe the visuals aren't as integral when it's not necessarily for just simply entertainment. Like, when people are talking about certain things, you want to see like the expressions and the it's nice to see that atmosphere. And I hope one day eventually I get there, but right now I'm just focusing on what I can manage and what is sustainable. So,
and how did you overcome the like imposter syndrome? How did you push past it? At what point was it like, talk to us about that point where you were like,
money. I'm not even going to lie. Like, at this point in my life, I'm like, Azraya, if you're going to make more money, you need to do, because I've always been a person who hasn't been particularly driven by money.
Okay.
So it got to a point where I was like, I say more money. It's not about the money. It's about a certain quality of life.
Yeah, of course.
And I feel like, now that I have found my niche, like something that aligns with my work and my worldview and what I care about and how that then translates to my platform and stuff. Now that I've found that, it feels a lot less anxiety inducing because I feel like I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing. Whereas before, that was always that sense of, this doesn't feel like what I'm meant to be doing. It's something like, it's a variation, but I haven't quite like hit the nail on the head, and I feel like I've hit that nail on the head now with what my content needs to look like.
That's amazing. Like, in terms of what you're doing now with As Wise Mind Map, and even, I don't know if you've done it recently, the newsletters and stuff, because I remember her speaking about newsletters.
My newsletter's a travesty.
Did you discover this about yourself in terms of like these conversations you wanted to have during, because remember you had started from Clubhouse really in terms of having these conversations,
the 3-0.
So was that the moment when you were like, oh, I could actually do this, or was this something you've always wanted to do? Because I really enjoyed those, by the way. They're really good.
I really enjoyed them. I was so pleasantly surprised with how well they went. And I was saying on the podcast, first episode that I put out, like, if there's one thing that I'm so grateful for, it's like the people that engage with the content that I make and the people that like connect with me on social media and stuff. Because I was saying, like, everyone's so normal. Like, you know what? Do you know what I mean? If I have someone in my comments saying ridiculous things, it's usually a troll. You know what I mean? Like, it's never.
Majority of the people are just cool.
Yeah, majority of the people are just so cool and just like. And so I think that's another reason why I want to do the content that I do. I don't like controversy for controversy's sake.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I'm used to it. I worked in SEN, you know what I mean? I'm an anti-racism consultant. Yeah. I deal with controversy every single day. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But I know that there's a reason. I know that it's controversy that is necessary as opposed to controversy for the sake of just like getting views. And exactly. Yeah. And so I can sleep at night knowing, okay, that was a crazy convo, or, you know, I'm getting a lot of heat for this episode, but I know that it's rooted in something that's...
And it's bringing real results as well.
Right, exactly. You know what I mean? So that's how, and I think that's what I needed in order for me to be able to do things. I needed to be able to see the value and the purpose in it for me to feel comfortable and confident in what I'm doing.
That's amazing.
Has there been any time where, I mean, you haven't felt the fear, so you know to feel the fear and do it anywhere anyway, has there been a time where you haven't been able to do that, or you've sort of felt like, oh, you know, I wish I could push past that moment?
I mean, I was doing it with the podcast for like, do you know how many episodes of this podcast
I've
recorded?
Girl, I've been following you for a while. So I've recorded a few times
and I finished, I don't even listen to them back because I'm like, they're so bad, I can't even bear to listen to them.
I hear it.
This podcast, people have seen me talk about this podcast all the time. And even now that I've started, like I put one episode out, I've just been so busy. Yeah. I started university, I traveled, I started the new academic year started. So obviously working up again because I work in schools. Yeah. So I put one episode out and before I'd be like, oh, and I'm like, I put one episode out, I'll put the next one when I put it out.
Yeah.
Who is going to be? Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I understand the consistency is necessary and I will get there. Yeah. But right now, there are more important things than the podcast. Yeah. I can't act like the podcast is the be all and end all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have to go. I'm paying £10,000 for a master's, guys. I need to study. Yeah. And I'm so sorry. If that means I can't, if that means I'm not going to record this month, then I'm not going to record this month. Yeah. And that's another reason why I like to be the way that I am, because if I do what I want all the time, then no one has any expectations because no one's going to be like, oh, the next is unacceptable. No, just get used to it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I hope to get to that consistency. I get that balance, but I'm working it out right now and everyone's just going to have to deal.
I love that. And I wish I had that sort of mindset. I feel like I'm working towards, and obviously like we've spoken about our podcast ending. For me, it took me a while to sort of come round to that because I'm so used to holding on to things and quote unquote, like just finishing till the end. And I didn't want to sort of look like I'm quitting.
I'm the opposite. I quit.
You know? I'm not used to that.
I advocate quitting.
I see the importance of doing that now.
Yeah.
But even now, like sometimes I feel like, oh gosh, should I quit? Should I not? But I'm learning to let things go in. It doesn't mean you're
quitting.
It's always a
balance. And some things aren't always quit. Some things are just this season has part of
come
my life
an end.
Or this phase has come to an end. That doesn't mean it's quit. It means I'd rather let go of something that I feel like is past due.
Yeah.
And I'm holding on to something that's just not me anymore. That to me is not quitting at all. So I feel like I'm in between you guys because there's some days I'm like, I can't come and kill myself. It's not by
force.
So,
don't get me wrong. Like, I feel like there's something to take from people who are able to let go and people who are able to persist.
Both, yes.
And
100%.
It's just like a spectrum, isn't it? And I feel like I was very much on the other end of the spectrum where it was like, wasn't committed, didn't stick to things, didn't see things through, didn't get to fulfill my potential. And now I'm trying to work towards more that middle ground where I can decipher when I need to stick with something and when I need to let something go because that's it's the better thing to do, not because I'm just being like lazy or avoidant or whatever. So
sometimes it's just time. I don't know where it comes from. Like maybe it's from, you know, me seeing other people and seeing like things that I want to do. So do you ever sort of feel, I wouldn't say jealous, but like maybe envious of like someone? So for example, you've spoken about like music and think saying that this is not, it doesn't really align with you, like the industry, but do you see like other people, you know, perhaps pursuing something and thinking, oh, I wish I could have stuck it out and done it?
I thought that for a long time just because the pattern of like not seeing things through and completing things to the best of my potential is not new. Like I've experienced it. I've experienced it, you know, my whole life. Mm. And looking back, it is partly on account of the fact that I do have an attention deficit disorder, you know? But equally, you get into habits as well. So because I had that undiagnosed disorder, I got into particular habits and the two just compounded each other to just make the situation worse. So I'm able to say, Azraya, like, I'm able to get over that hump now in a way that I couldn't before. And I wouldn't, it's weird. I don't think I would feel jealous per se. And even if I did, I feel like, no, of course I did sometimes, I guess, but that was quite fleeting. But ultimately it will come back to this feeling of like disappointment in myself and feeling like everyone is so much better than me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe you start feeling jealous and then it turns into, oh, you know, I want that. And then you think, oh, but it's never going to happen for me. Or they got it because, oh, and you just rationalize it in your mind. And really, it's got nothing to do with anything. It's like, you just need to stick to what you're doing. Definitely. And so you would rationalize why you wasn't getting somewhere and why other people were getting opportunities that you think you would have also been great at, et cetera, et cetera. And it gets to the point where you just have to say, you've made bad decisions up to this point, change your decision, make better choices.
Yeah.
And I feel like once you can get to that part and be honest about that without feeling ashamed of yourself, that's when you...
Yeah.
That's when you start doing what you set out to do.
But it's necessary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk to us about your journey with ADHD. You know, as much as you can anyway. It's just in terms of like, at what point did you feel like, okay, maybe I should go and see if, you know, there's something. Like at what point were you alerted in terms of like you were talking about the habits or not being able to finish anything? And just that journey of also like, once you finally were diagnosed, was it a moment of relief? Was it a moment of...
Listen, before I went into that assessment, I said, if these people tell me I don't have ADHD, what am I going to do? Because then what the hell is wrong with me? You know, the first time I thought I may have something that I may be dealing with something that I have, that I actually don't have as much control over.
Yeah.
Is when I was 26. And I had started my PGCE to become a teacher. And I remember I was in university and I was in the library and I was there for like 3-4 hours. And I'd written like a date, a title, a couple of bullet points. I remember sitting there thinking, I am paying for this.
Mm.
I really wanted to do this. I worked really hard to get onto the course and I really enjoyed the seminars. So what the hell is going on? And that's when I thought, hold on, I do this all the time. I've done this for my A-levels. I've done this throughout my degree.
Okay. So
I've done this. Yeah, and I was like, this is actually like, I'm not, and I sat there and I thought to myself, I'm not doing this on purpose. Like, I want to
do
this, what's going on.
Do the work, yeah.
And I remember I went home and I spoke to my mum about it. And I spoke to my dad about it. My dad convinced me I was absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with me when I really think he has ADHD anyway. So, you know, he's like, you're just like me. And I'm like, well, duh. And so I let it go and I passed my PGC. I'd done amazingly well. And I was like, wow, okay, cool. So I can do the whole uni thing. Because initially uni was a terrible time for me. And I got into teaching. Teaching was great. I was in a job that I love. I felt so full, blah, blah, blah. I was like, but this ain't it though.
Yeah.
I can still do so much more than that. Like, I'm laying the foundations right now.
Yeah.
So why am I not getting to the next step? You know, it felt like there was this ceiling. And that's when I said, oh, do you know what, F it. Like, this is ridiculous. I started researching ADHD for the first time. Because initially, I didn't know it was ADHD that I was considering necessarily. I just was saying I have an issue with my attention.
Okay.
That was what I was saying. And then it was a few years later, obviously working at SEN and stuff. You know, you see the kid and you're like...
Yeah, something looks familiar.
Yeah. Right? And so I started researching it. And I remember researching it and just crying like, this is my life. Like, this is literally my life. And I just went and I got it. I paid for an assessment. And then they was like, you absolutely
have it.
Have ADHD. Yeah. And it took a while for me to come to terms with it, because as much as I wanted to be able to attribute the behaviors to something specific, I still sat there and was like, almost, and I've heard people talk about this online. Did I trick these people into thinking that I had ADHD because I'm lazy? So I just said the right thing so I can make an excuse.
Starts out in. Yeah.
Right, yeah. And it's really weird. And I start thinking like, how is ADHD a thing? Like, is this just, is this just a cop out? Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
As much as I had the experience and I knew exactly what the experience was, it was still hard to reconcile it with a cognitive issue.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. I think, so I work in healthcare and I'm part of the people who help with the assessments for ADHD or any sort of neurodevelopmental conditions. And I always say to my patients, and I work in schools now, but I always say to my patients, like, once they, you know, throughout the process or even at the end, that it's a neurodevelopmental condition. And I make sure to say that because it's clinical. And that's my opinion because that's what I've trained for and that's what I studied. But for some reason, and I think this is the same for like a lot of mental health conditions, but especially conditions that vary in presentation, conditions that, you know, people don't necessarily know about. Like, usually ADHD, it should be something that's diagnosed like at an earlier stage, like during childhood. For some reason, it isn't believed. So even if you are diagnosed, it's like, well, you're just lazy or you're just that. Like, are you sure? And it really angers me because I've met a lot of, you know, people who are older now, like maybe in their 20s or 30s, who, while still having that diagnosis, still don't believe that, you know, they have it or they deserve to even have that diagnosis attached to them.
To get the help
I'm like, well, you've done the assessments. Clearly it states there that you've got something. It's the same thing. Like, if you've got a physical health condition, what are you going to tell people? Oh, no, I don't have it because of what?
People can't see visually.
People can't see it. And I think, I mean, obviously there's a lot of factors to it, but even in the healthcare industry, like, I mean, you mentioned that you paid for it and I wondered, you know, I mean, I do understand why people pay for it, because obviously to go through the usual system of going to the GP, it takes long. And sometimes even doctors, they don't even know what ADHD is, or they don't know the signs to look out for. It's not something that's we're really trained for. I am only trained because I sought out to do specialist training. But it's not part of, like, you know, becoming a doctor or becoming a therapist or anything like that. So imagine that from our end, societal sort of views on what these conditions are, and then your own sort of, you know, personal struggles too. It's like, it's there's no way of going around it.
Mm.
So I do feel for people who have the diagnosis or have, you know, a slight idea of, you know, what this could be, but don't even believe it themselves, even after it.
Yeah, it's a weird one. It's a strange one.
Has it changed your working style now? Like,
I can't even tell you how much my working style has changed.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's one of that and the way I schedule things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, memory loss is like such a huge thing. Like a really huge thing.
Wow.
I say memory loss,
but yeah,
that's not the right thing. Poor memory.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have memory loss. That came out wrong. Like, I'm not like senile, but
yeah.
poor memory is such a real thing. Like, it happens all the time. I'll be like, I've seen that film. I'm like, I don't remember it though.
Mm.
It happens all the time because my boyfriend is like a proper film buff. He's like seen so many films.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's why we watched this. You don't remember? And I'm like, no. And he's like, and he'll go and he'll describe it. And I'm like, okay, I know you're trying to help, but you don't remember. Mm. I don't remember. And like dates, you don't remember dates. And someone, I can literally be about to walk out the door and you'll say to me, oh, when you get out on the porch, can you turn the light off? And I'll say, yeah, sure. I'll pick up my phone, double check with you what you want for the shot. By the time I've walked through the door, I've completely forgotten. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it's dates and stuff. You get dates mixed up.
Mm.
You always miss appointments. Like, it's crazy. And the way it's affected my life in so many ways, and how I've managed to mitigate that just by knowing.
Yeah.
Literally just by knowing. That's so, like, I know that if I want to sit down and work, I'm not going to be able to sit down and work.
Mm.
Excuse me. So I do this thing now. It's called, I saw it online, actually. This woman called it a productivity sprint. So however long I think I can muster up, I'll set a timer for it and I'll just say, I'm going to work for this time. By the time I've worked for the 30 minutes, 45, I might do 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, depending on how I'm feeling. By the time I've worked for that, I'm into it now and it's caught my attention now.
Okay.
So I can continue. But unless I tell myself, you will be allowed to stop in 30 minutes, I won't start.
Okay.
I see.
If that makes sense. Yeah. I need to tell myself, okay, if you just do this before. And then if I do that every day, that's like 2.5 hours that I've done on, like, whether it's my podcast, my website, whatever it is, and you get more done. But everything feels so, like, the mental strain of having to do any task is so huge because every single task feels so long, so laborious, so hard. Like, it's going to take so much time, and you do it and it literally takes 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But you can't anticipate that before you start.
Yeah.
It's very surreal. It's very surreal.
That's wow. I mean, it's the upside is the fact that it's changed your work and style now. So you're paying attention to what you know you can and can't do. For those who actually don't know much about ADHD or are even thinking, oh, maybe I have it, but I'm not too sure what, I mean, I know it can differ. Just depending on the person, but from your personal experience, what were the signs that you may have had issues with your just attention span, et cetera?
So I think the signs for me were actually more long-term.
Okay.
So it's only now it's only after my diagnosis, I realised my day-to-day habits. Yeah, I didn't recognise it before because I'd never experienced anything else.
Just normal.
So that was normal. Yeah. The only thing I knew that wasn't normal is how difficult everything felt.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to myself, I sat down, I was like, I can't believe life is meant to be this difficult. Like, I can't believe that me paying a bill on time and being arriving at work on time and stuff like that is meant to be this difficult. There is no way people get up and every day they are late for work. Why am I late for work every day? I go to this, it's the same route every morning. I have an idea of the traffic. I have an idea of time that I leave. How do I end up late every day? And so it was me thinking, why does everything feel so difficult? Like, why do I always get things wrong all the time? I think two is just looking at my track record going back. Like, what have you, like, I didn't feel like I'd accomplished anything.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't feel proud of anything. Like, I didn't feel like I've done this. I'm so proud of myself. I got through this. I managed to finish this. You know, I've acquired this skill or this whatever. I didn't have any of that. And I thought, I'm a smart girl. You know what I mean? I'm a smart and capable person. Like, what is my issue? And what else? And I think just generally the overwhelming feeling of feeling like really immature. Like, oh my gosh, when will you grow up? Like, when will you pay bills on time? Yeah. Well, do you know what I mean? All that stuff. Like, when will you get yourself together?
Yeah.
That overwhelming feeling of like that. And I think it's those overwhelming feelings that make you think, I have an issue here because I swear to God, I swear I am trying my hardest. I swear I am. And it's still not working out for me. And I can I can honestly say, like, after my diagnosis, I feel like an adult. Do you know what I mean? Like, I actually feel like an adult, and I never felt like an adult. And I do know, I feel like, and I think also equally, if I'm having a day where I'm like, that was such a crap day, I don't feel bad about it. Before I used to be like, look at you. Do you know what I mean? Now if I have a day and I'm just like, it was just a day. If I can get 3 days out of a week, four days out of a week where I'm really, really productive, I'm satisfied.
You're good.
Because that's every other day, right? Yeah. And so, and then I also have days where I'm productive and I don't sleep because I'm so hyper-focused. Okay, I don't sleep for 3 or 4 days.
And then I've realized
I need to stop that because then I literally can't get anything done flat. Yeah. I need like 2 weeks to recoup. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm still learning though. Still.
Do you now that you're just more aware, do you feel like you have the ability, or do you feel like you believe in yourself a lot more now? Because it's like, okay, now I know what it is. Now I know how I can work around it and change my lifestyle to accommodate it. So whereas you were saying before, it was like you were almost beating yourself up, like, okay, I don't feel like an adult. I feel disappointed in myself. I'm not getting things done. Has it helped you to be like, okay, Azraya, with now all of this in place, I can do this now. You can do this.
Yeah, I think that when... it's a phase. So, I mean, it takes time. Mm-hmm. So you have phases. You have phases where you feel really confident, and then something. But I don't even feel like that's necessary to me because I've ADHD. I feel like this is just generally people in general, right? Yeah. But I feel like it takes time, and you recognize only after maybe like a year, and you look back at a year ago and where you were, and you compare it to where you are now, and you're like, oh yeah, I can see it. But it's really incremental, and I feel like the main thing that's changed is I've realized I talk to myself very differently now.
Okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like internally, like I'll be driving to a school in the morning, right, and I'm sitting there, I'm literally saying to myself, okay, you can do this, put the podcast out, you know, it's fine, put it out. And I'm literally whereas before it would be, oh my god, don't put it out, don't even listen to it, oh my god, start again, scrap it. You know, and I can hear the way I'm talking to myself changing. And I think ultimately no one is obviously confident, 100% confident and assured all the time. So that's not the goal. But I think the goal is for how do you feel about yourself generally? If you had to describe yourself, and if you sit and think about how you feel about yourself as a person overall, what do you feel? Do you feel a sense of pride and confidence, or do you feel like a bit like ashamed and embarrassed? And I feel like that's the shift that I've made.
You feel more pride.
Yeah.
Now that's amazing. That's really, really. Last question I have for you, and I don't know if that's wrong, but I have for you is just your podcast. Like, the day it came out, I went straight down. I messaged them like, it's out, guys. Like, I was like, she finally put it out. And I listened to it straight away. And it was so, first of all, it was so timely for me because, like, I'm trying to pursue just new things now. And now I'm going to be 30 in January. So, like, and you've spoken about just turning 30 a lot. And that's why I've related to it so much, because there's definitely a shift that comes, I think, like, towards 30 and then going into 30 that you feel it's not planned. It just kind of happens. And then, yeah, just pursuing a lot of new things. So I was listening to it, and it was just such a good episode. I really enjoyed it. I really, really enjoyed it. And how have you felt now that it's finally out there? Do you feel, are you like, let's talk about the responses you've gotten, and then also just, in terms of the fact that you are putting out wholesome content in a world where everybody's, like you said, putting out clickbait stuff, putting out stuff just to get the likes and the shares and et cetera, and the brand deals, like, you're putting out wholesome things. Is that difficult sometimes? Or do you feel like once you had put it out, it was like, I'm proud of myself. This is good stuff. I know you haven't listened to it back, but...
Honestly, no, I did, because I had to edit it. I have to listen to it back. Yeah, I have to listen to it back. And I listened to it back and I was like... Because often when I talk... I feel like I'm rambling.
Okay, same. Yeah.
So I talk, and I'm like, in my head, I'm still talking. While I'm talking, I'm thinking, how long have I been talking for? I need to round this up. Am I repeating myself? That's what's going on in my head, right? Yeah. So when I'm recording a podcast, I'm very much there the whole time. And I was saying it right on the podcast. Yeah. I was like, I'm not present, and I need to just start having conversations and just letting them be conversations and not, you know, analyzing it exactly. But when I was... Sorry, I forgot the question.
Just in terms of how you felt, in terms of like now, do you feel
proud? Oh yeah,
proud?
That's it. So after I put it out, I was like, what was all the fuss about, Azraya? No, seriously, I put it out and I'm like, is that it? It's just, you know, just think, oh wow, it really wasn't that serious. Like, just put it out.
Yeah.
And I can't lie, when I looked at the views and I realised I only had like, or listens rather, and I realised I had like, let's say 90 listens, it made me feel better. Like, I didn't
want... Why? You didn't want a lot?
Because it's like, do you know what? It's not that I didn't want a lot. It's that it's not that deep. It's not like people are waiting, okay, like listening and waiting, yeah, to, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, it's not that serious. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I know I'll get more listeners the more episodes, yeah, that I put, exactly, out, right? And so it wasn't about me seeing a load. Like, had I read that number and seen however many listens, that would have scared me, yeah, more. That, yeah, would have been more unnerving, because then it's kind of like, oh my God, look how many people have listened. Like, yeah, I have to maintain. Do you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Knowing that this is just, and I've really made this far more about me and the fact that I want to do it, as opposed to trying to have like this hit podcast,
yeah,
you know, exactly. And I feel like in focus on, and I do have to refocus, because you can lose your focus. I do have, yeah, to refocus on that. But I think ultimately I put it out and I was just like, okay, like, nobody cares. This is great. Like, literally, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I actually care more than anybody else. Yeah, so I need, course, to stop, yeah, I need to stop over-inflating, yeah, how much people are going to criticize it and how much, yeah, da-da-da, blah, blah, blah. And equally, no matter what you do, people are going to criticize it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, do what you, no, want to do anyway. It doesn't matter, yeah, right? So I think putting it out just made me realize it's just not that serious,
mm-hmm, yeah,
for anybody else anyway. Yeah. It's just not that, yeah, serious for anybody else. Yeah. This is about you. This is about you wanting to put something out into the world. This is about your creativity. This is about what you think is important, mm, and focus on that. Like, what people think can be helpful, mm, what people think is obviously a part of the journey and a, yeah, part of the process, but it's really not the focal, yeah, point. It's not the, it's central, not, point. Right. As long as you're not harming people, yeah, and you're trying, you, exactly, know, you do things with integrity, what people think is kind of like at the bottom of the, mm, bottom of the list of concerns,
it should,
and
be
worries.
At the bottom of your why.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. 100%. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So you're an anti-racist consultant. Talk to us about the shift, because I know you're a teacher. Are you still doing teaching? And or
no,
is
I don't
just completely
anymore.
Okay, so
I still work in education. So I'm an anti-racism consultant in
education,
okay, in schools. And my master's is on sociology of education.
Mm-hmm. Congrats,
social
that,
justice
by the
education.
Way.
So
I was like, you, follow you the process of when you applied for the master's.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's what I remember. I said I was up for three
oh,
nights,
wow,
writing that,
oh,
because the lady from the course told me, you know, that it might close soon. I was like, oh my god, no! And I had decided I wanted to do it. Yeah. So yeah, my master's is still very much in education. And when I worked in teaching, I knew before I got my PGCE that I wanted to work in special educational needs.
Okay.
I knew I didn't want to work with normal children.
I hear it.
A really good friend of mine, Emmanuel, he had worked in this school that I'd worked in for a week before I'd done my PGCE. You need to do like a week in a school kind, okay, of thing. And I worked there. I was like, I want to work here. I want to work, mm, in this school. And so after I'd done my NQT year, I went and I worked in that school, and it was amazing. It was perfect for me. I was fantastic at that job. It was so me. Mm. But I think with the teaching, the issue is, again, the scheduling, being on somebody else's clock, the time. Yeah. I desperately need flexibility in my,
yeah,
life.
Yeah.
And I have a really good friend of mine who I met at that job. Funny story, we couldn't stand each other when we met. We seem like polar opposites at the outset. And now she's like one of my closest girls, like, love her to death. And she's like polar opposite me, hyper organized,
okay,
like, very, okay, regimented, like, just very like stickler for, yep, the rules. And I'm kind of like, rules are made to be broke kind of thing. So we've both left there because ultimately the school wasn't aligning with what we wanted, yeah, anymore. But then while I was at the school, I was working as, okay, so what happened was we had issues with racism in the school, okay, particularly from the students, young, special educational needs in terms of emotionally regulated.
Okay.
They obviously say very inflammatory things.
Yes.
They can say very racist things, mm-hmm, to you. And there was a lot of issues surrounding how that was being handled,
okay,
and how it was being approached by, you know, SLT and stuff like that. And I was leaving. So I was leaving because I wanted to speak about my salary, mm, and they weren't willing to speak to me about it. They said, no, that's the salary. And I was just kind of like, you won't even speak to me about it.
Yeah.
And I literally said, fine, found a new job. It's going to leave.
Wow.
And before I left, they had started a working party. And before I left, I had emailed their head. And I said, listen, I know I'm going in however long, but while I'm here, I'm going to do something about it. Like, mm, I can't just, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not just going to sit,
yeah,
and just watch, say, it happen.
Yeah.
Sent him a long email about that, and he offered me a promotion,
oh, wow,
more than what I'd initially,
wow,
gone for.
Wow.
Being a equality coordinator, mm-hmm, equality and diversity coordinator, and a pastoral, wow, lead. So it's everything that, wow, I'd kind of
you
rolled into one.
To, yeah.
And so it was while I was doing that role that I met my current employer. So they came in, I wasn't doing training, or I was doing training, but internally.
Okay.
And they had got these guys to come in to do an inset. And she'd come to my school, she'd done the training, and I'd emailed her and I said, listen, the training's great, but for this set in, I feel like we need to tailor it because essentially I don't think these guys are ready.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we need to do it in a way that we're not going to lose them. Yeah. So I sat down with her, we went over the training together, we like edited it, whatever. That went fine. And then eventually she messaged me, she's like, look, I'm looking for contractors. Are you interested? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And then the more I worked for her, the more I was like, I want to do this full time.
Okay. Right.
But at the time, she was still doing it part time at the time. Because she was a teacher as well. And I was on duty, so she's like, okay, cool, think about it. And then eventually a few other contractors left, and I was like, full time? You need me full time? And she was like, yeah, I think it's time. And then as soon as I got a job, I left in the middle of school year. I was like,
wow.
Yeah. I left in Easter. And wow. they wanted me to stay to the end of the year. And I was thinking about it. And I was like, no, because the only person I'm staying for, who am I staying for?
Yeah,
I don't want to be here. I want to go, you know? So what am
You're
I staying
for?
For
them, really, just to
exactly.
Them,
what am I staying for? And I did want to stay for the kids, but I was like, kids will be fine.
You into
it. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong. I love them. And I kept going back. And there was a point where I'd say to myself, sorry, you need to stop going back and visiting that school. Mm-hmm. Like, let those children.
Yeah, let them go.
Let them go. Yeah. But yeah, that's how I transitioned. And of course, I was doing anti-racism. And I was like, I absolutely 100% need to do a master's because my degree was a business degree.
Okay.
So the only experience I had of it was actually doing my PGCE, which is only a third of a master's. So I only wrote two essays.
Okay.
And I was like, I absolutely need a master's because obviously for my professional thing, but I was like, I am absolutely so fascinated by this stuff. It's just so, I just need to study it. Wow. And so.
How have you been finding it? Just this new phase of, you know, your career. How's it been?
It's interesting because everything happens like, you know, I went full time and I was working, you know, full time hours. And then just very recently, we've realized it's not really necessary.
Okay.
And with everything going on with the stuff that I'm doing outside of work, we've been like, do you know what? Do what you got to do. Do you know what I mean? Like work the hours you need to work.
And
that's amazing. And if there's nothing else to do, don't worry. Yeah, if there's nothing else to do, don't worry about it. And so, yeah, so I get to, so if I only need to work for 2 hours one day, I just work for 2 hours.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I have the rest of the day to do whatever I want to do. And don't get me wrong, I'm going to miss the money.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm still not getting paid as much. But equally, it means that I get to focus on making money
in other areas.
Yeah. Other areas, which I am doing more now. So
parts of
I think it's happened at that perfect time. I couldn't have asked for it to happen. So as much as I was like, oh, money, I was like, do you know what? Focus, yeah. Work hard, invest in yourself, use your time properly, and you'll get more money than you could have dreamed of. So
amazing. Yeah. So I don't know if you know the answer to this question right now, but is there another episode coming soon?
Yeah, I recorded two this week.
Oh, dope. Okay.
The next one is coming out next week.
Okay.
Because I recorded and then I went on holiday.
Okay, yeah.
And I came back. There was some bad news. Had to deal with that.
Oh, gosh.
And then because I was away, I had to catch up with uni.
Okay.
And stuff like that. And you know when it all gets on top of
you? It's a
lot,
yeah.
And I'd actually recorded the episode to come out this week.
Okay.
But it didn't record because the wrong browser was being used.
Oh, no.
So I had to re-record it. And I was going to put it out this week. And I said, you know what? I'm not scrambling to do this. I'll put it out next week. And hopefully after next week, they will be weekly because I've got a backlog of a couple episodes now.
Okay, that's good.
And so next month, I'm going to put out episodes that were all recorded in Black History Month.
Okay.
And so it's going to be a continuation of Black History Month. What episode is going to come out next month? So.
Amazing. Excited. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast, Azraya.
No problem at all.
As always, it was nice having you. Nice just getting into your mind. Literally, Azraya is my mind. We love it. And yeah, let us know where people, let the people know where they can find you.
Everything is _Azraya_AZRYAH. That's my Instagram and Twitter mainly. I've got TikTok. I've only got one video on there, but I'll be posting more. Again, just trying to figure out what that content needs to look like.
Yeah.
So hopefully there'll be more, but don't hold your breath. That's it. I'm working on my website, which has literally been almost finished for like 6 weeks. Like I worked on it. It looked amazing. I just, the finishing touches. I literally just haven't looked at it since. So it's half term next week.
Okay.
So I'll be working from home every single day.
And will this website, will it be what, like blogs and
so
like
my
that?
Last one was just a blog, right? But this one is like an actual website. So it will have like any consultancy services I have.
Okay.
It will have my blog on there. We'll have links to like work and campaigns that I've done.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It will have the podcast on there.
Amazing.
So
with the consultancy, you're planning to do this like outside of your job as well. So like freelance stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Amazing.
Yeah.
That's so dope. Exciting times.
Thank you. I know. I'm just Honestly, I'm just like, I don't have no social life no more though. Mm. I'm not going to lie. That is one sacrifice you have to make. I'm not even going to lie. I don't even miss it. I don't even miss it. I'm not trying to be out here. I'm just in a place now where it's not enjoyable right now.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm sure it will be again. And when I say that, I mean, like, I'm not talking about, I'll see my friends. I've got to see stuff. But you know, like,
how do you balance even just in another capacity, spending time with your friends? Is that something?
I see them a lot less now, I'm not going to lie. Okay. And my friends are amazing like that. Like, they know what I'm like. They know I'm up and down. They know I'm all around the houses, all over the place. But I think equally, we're all just getting older and everyone's getting busier. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have a partner. I have literally multiple jobs.
Yeah.
I'm trying to save for a house.
I hear it. Yeah.
You know, cost of living is kicking. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's just a lot. We just come out of a pandemic. So it's just kind of like, I think everyone is just pretty much exhausted.
And figuring it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Figuring out what life looks like at this point in this side of the pandemic now.
Yeah.
With the hot mess that's going on in our government.
No MP.
Oh my God, I've divested.
Thank you so much for coming. And we wish you all the best of all your endeavors.
Thank you. Honestly. It was so nice speaking to you guys.
No
honestly.
Problem. And guys, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of She's Not Pod. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time for another episode. Shade wasn't on this one, but she'll be back with us next time.
Yes.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.